And what a marvelous story it is. So, let's move on to the second lesson. Second lesson is little snippets from what we've been doing in the past couple of weeks, past 3 weeks to be exact. The first one is Jude 1:1. Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called, who are beloved, in God the Father, and kept safe for Jesus Christ. Our second scripture is 1 Peter. And it looks like I put the wrong one in there. Hold on just 1 second. You know what's great? Technology is great. I've got a little app on my phone that has the whole Bible in it. It is great that I can just pull it right up and it is right there for me. Okay. 1 Peter 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, exiles scattered throughout the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who had been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to be obedient to Jesus Christ and sprinkled with his blood. Grace and peace to yours in abundance. That was a little bit more, but felt it needed to go in there. And our last one for lesson two is 2 Peter 1:1. Simeon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith as precious as yours, as ours, through the righteousness of God, of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. If you bow your head with me, let's pray before we come together. Father God, we give you thanks and praise for today. We ask that you would bless our time together, bless our time of fellowship afterwards, that you would do what you do best around a table, and that is grow stories, create relationships, and let us see each other for who we really are instead of who we think the other person is. We pray this in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So I think it's interesting that that we sang the last hymn. I love that hymn. The story of God is one that has gotten confused over the years, right? Like, Jesus's story has been told a lot, but sometimes people get his story wrong and they think that they know him, but they really don't. It's only until you have an encounter with Christ or you get to know his word through studying it, or you meet someone that has walked with him for many, many years, whenever you see who he really is. I don't know about you, but I've met people like that who, on first glance, I thought they were one thing. But when I got to know them, I saw Christ in them more than anything else. But my first impression may not have been the best, but not because of them, but because of me. I didn't know their story. So, the past couple weeks, you guys have been doing something very interesting that I have to say, not a whole lot of churches that I've been to or preached at do, and that is taking books in the Bible that don't, or in the New Testament specifically here, that don't get much attention. They just kind of get skipped over. And you go through and you do something called exegesis, which Wade does a really good job at. He really does. He has, he's made you into a very scholarly congregation, and that's really, really awesome. The books that you've gone over, of course, are Jude and 1 Peter and 2 Peter. And I don't know if you guys, like, look for the different steps when he's going through exegesis, or if you even realize that he's doing it, but exegesis is technically the critical explanation or interpretation of the scriptures. It's a way of studying scripture that examines it from the perspective of when it was written and not from our own perspective. So the steps of it, and Wade, again, did a brilliant job of executing this, is first starting with what the genre is. And then, to help kind of suss this out a little bit more, what the genre is, he looks at the big picture of each book, right? So he goes from talking about what the book was, to talking about the author, to talking about its recipients and its themes, and then he breaks down sections for you, right? So the big picture is essential for understanding the individual passages. That's why he starts with telling us that it's an epistle that we've done and who the author is. And from there, you develop a thesis statement, and this step is meant to help the person studying or reading the scripture to focus on a specific section. And then you outline the progress of the passage that you're wanting to focus on. And then you bring in other sources to help you understand what's going on. And then you analyze the sentences and how they relate to one another, and technical. And then you analyze key terms, resolve some of the problems, and evaluate your results from this perspective of wider contextualness, and then you summarize all that and get your answers. Blah, blah, blah. But if you remember back to Jude and to 2 Peter, it was interesting, right? And the more, when he introduced, especially Jude, he did a fantastic job of introducing Jude. Remember, he talked about he's a brother of James and a disciple of Jesus. And he left something out, though. What did he leave out? That he's the brother of Jesus, right? Yeah. And it had a purpose, right? Like, there was a reason for that. Do you remember what the reason was? There we go. So that plays a part in how we see the book. Wade talked about how, you know, sometimes we throw out that we know the owner's brother. But Jude didn't do that because he had a purpose and why he was writing Jude, and that played a part in how he wrote the epistle. So, when we examine an author, we want to pause on him and think about who that author is. And without having a baseline of understanding of who the author is, we can easily miss important elements going on in the book and what the writer is trying to communicate. Last week, Wade had another great example of this. He mentioned how Mark is impatient, and so we see in his writing that everything is suddenly and quickly and now, and that his character and how he is as a person comes out in the way that he writes. And that helps us understand who Mark was. Or how about Luke? In his gospel, we see a lot of medical references. And if we didn't know who Luke was, we'd think, oh, that's a little odd. He's putting a lot of stuff in there about taking some wine for your stomach. And then we find out that he's a physician, and we go, oh, so that impacts the way that he had a relationship with Christ. It impacts the way that he interacts with other believers. It impacts the way that he wrote his gospel. And we see, as we get to know our author, that they, like we, are layered people. Just as we write and live and communicate from our own experiences, so did biblical authors. So understanding the layers of who they are helps us understand the message God gave them to give to us. I'm sorry, I am so hot this morning that I am like dying of thirst. So you're already familiar with this kind of biblical scholarship because you guys have been doing it. Like, that's what you do. A couple of weeks ago, Wade and I had a meeting together, and he bragged about you. He did. He said, I'm just going to let you know that this congregation can handle the scholarship because they were doing it before I got here. And when I got here, it was easy to continue with that. That says a lot, like a whole lot, because sometimes you can go into congregations and that's not what they want, and that's fine. But it shows a lot about you that you're willing to dig in and get into the hard stuff that sometimes other people can't, and that's fine. So what is the importance of biblical exegesis outside of Sunday morning worship and outside of writing a book? Well, it trains us to get to know the person first before making conclusions about that person based on what they say or do or even decisions they may make. So often, we think we have someone pegged simply by seeing a slice of their life in the context that we may know them. But when we get to know them deeper, when we get to know their story, we see that they are deeper and more lovely and layered than we ever knew. And that helps us to be able to minister to them better, when we understand where they came from and their background and their hurts, we can love them better. It reminds me of the woman at the well story. Jesus knew her, so he knew how to call her out on her stuff. But he didn't do it with a heart of condemnation. He did it out of a place of love, but it still kind of stung a little. But the reason he was able to do that was because he knew her story. Let me give you a couple examples more. So most of you know, and especially after this morning and reading all my biographical information, I work the soup kitchen. And there is a couple that comes in every single morning. And before I met them, I got the down low on them, which I really wasn't excited about to begin with, because I like to kind of make my own assessments and get to know a person's story from their own mouth. So the story that I got about them wasn't a very good story. It was full of abuse and neglect and didn't paint a very good picture. But the more I got to know these people, the more I realized that what One person pegged as aggression was actually a childhood of being in an orphanage in Chicago, and that he had been torn away from his family, he'd been torn away from all of his brothers, and he was an orphan. And he had found his now significant other in a random happenstance, and they had a family together, and she went downhill mentally, and he takes care of her now. And a lot of people think that he abuses her. But if you listen to his story and listen to the things that he says, you realize that he doesn't abuse her. He's very, very protective of her because she's the only thing that he's got. And I realized that the way that I dealt with him when I first met him was not the way that I needed to love him once I got to know him. And it changed, that couple changed the way that I interacted with everybody in there. Because I realized even more deeply that everyone has their own story. And it's until I set aside what I think the person is that I can't get to know them, that God can't change my heart as well, and that I can't give them the love of Christ that they need, not what I think they need. So when I met with Wade a couple of weeks ago again, he said, you know, it might be good to tell everybody your story. And that was kind of where this was birthed out of, because I really admired how Wade interacted with you guys. So I did. I took his advice, and I decided that, I'll tell you a little bit about my story. So most of you have gotten to know me from the Ministerial Alliance, and when you ask me what I'm doing, you hear that I'm working at the VA. And, what are you doing? Oh, I'm a chaplain. Well, there's a story behind that. Whenever I was in my teens, I started going to a festival called Cornerstone. It's a Christian Woodstock in Bushnell, Illinois. And I was part of a subculture, a music subculture there. And I became part of a ministry called The Asylum. And we ministered to goths and punks and skinheads and hardcore kids. We ministered to a pretty rough crowd, but it was wonderful because I got a taste for what it meant to serve people that the rest of society didn't necessarily want to have anything to do with. And after many years of struggling to figure out where God wanted me, my best friend called me to the table and said, "You need to go to seminary. And you need to go to seminary, and you need to study how to work with music subcultures." So I did. And while I was there, the Lord touched my heart and told me that he wanted me to not only work with music subcultures, but that he also wanted me to work with women in the sex industry. And I've spent the past 4 or 5 years doing that, and it's been wonderful. After I got married, well, I'll back up. At the end of my seminary career, the Lord took me to finish it up in a place called CPE, Clinical Pastoral Education, and that was doing a unit of work in a hospital as a chaplain. And I, being in the environment that I had been in, with people that didn't fit into churches, I didn't fit into churches either. The reason I felt at home there was because I was an outcast too. And I realized pretty soon into seminary that I didn't want to do parish ministry because I didn't feel like I belonged there. But whenever I got into chaplaincy, I realized that I had a home there. And when I started to plan a church or help plan a church in Chicago, The church model was called a missional, and instead of having a building and the people came to you, we actually went into the community. Church was in our homes, and we had a family with one another. And I realized that God was calling me to not stay in the building, but to go to people where they are hurting the most. And so I went back and did more CPE and decided that the Lord was calling me into chaplaincy. And that's what I love. And while I was in chaplaincy, the Lord often opened up the opportunity to serve another group of the least of these at the Alliance. My story is unique, and so are every one of yours. They're a beautiful journey of what has knit you together to make you you. And you deserve to be uniquely loved and uniquely cared for and uniquely ministered to, just the way that you are. And so it is, so it's our call to go out and tell our story and learn others' stories so we can love others the way that they need to be loved. God calls us to enter people's stories just like he entered ours. He took on flesh and made our story his story. Because when we know the story behind the person, we gain a richer understanding of the scripture and our neighbor. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Father God, thank you. Savior Jesus, thank you for entering our story. The incarnation never gets old. The fact that you would come in and enter our story and give us the greatest story ever told, that we can enter into and become part of your family, and that you know us so intimately that you know the hairs on our head and you have numbered them. I give you thanks and praise for each and every one of the people in here, because you have uniquely made them to be exactly who they need to be. I pray that you would give them an open heart to get to know other stories and to love people for their unique story as well. We pray this in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.